can I share a little bit tonight? Something that I've shared before, but I want us to take a look at this again because it is vitally important to our mission. And it is communicating the gospel. How many beside myself here could say I can learn how, I can get better at communicating my faith? How many know that God expects us to share our faith, to share Jesus?
Yes.
Amen? We are to be about our Father's business, and that is the business of soul winning. My wife and I have talked about this before. When I was a part of the Korean American church, I started out there, really. Folks, they get a hold of God's word, they listen to what God says, and they do what God says. If God says, share the gospel, talk to people, you know, get the message out, that's what they do. If God says, pray, that's what they do. They are very dedicated and very loyal people. They understand authority in the Korean church. I mean, it's amazing the respect that's there for people who are in authority in the Korean church. And God has really blessed the Korean church. As you know, it's the largest church in the world is Dr. Cho's church. And God has raised up the Korean people. And they are sending missionaries even here and abroad. They're number three, I think, on the list of countries that are sending the most missionaries. They might be number... I thought they were number three, but we're number one, I know. They may be number two. But for being a country the size of Florida, you know, that's pretty huge. And one of the things that we've got to get a hold of, and I'll tell you, it's when we really get a hold of this and we start living this and start practicing this, it is your light comes when you shed the light. Amen? When you share life, your life comes. When we give, it we receive. In order for us to stay, if you will, in life, we have to move with life. And life is not a thing, it's not an activity, it's a person. In Him we live and move and have our being. We are in life in Christ. Amen? So as we are engaging in the things that Christ has already commissioned us to do, then our light will shine. There's many things that we need personally. Does anybody beside myself have needs, right? The problem is this, is that too often we preoccupy ourselves with trying to meet our needs, take care of ourselves, to the degree that the kingdom priority takes a back seat. And we're preoccupied with just making it, just getting by. And so often even the money that we seem to bring in seems to go into a bucket with a hole. And it just seems to seep out. I'm not talking about everybody. But in some cases, that is the case. And I believe a lot of the times, the reason for that is we have got our priorities wrong. We are out pursuing careers. We're out pursuing temporary things. And we're not prioritizing the eternal things of God. The kingdom is not our number one thing. It's when we get done with doing all the things that we want and things that we enjoy and the things that we want to do. If there's any time left, maybe we'll give God a Sunday morning. And so, because we have our priorities out of order, we basically have become idolatrous in a lot of ways. We have these other gods that are more important. There is nothing more important than the will of God. There is nothing more important that you and I are together, united, amen, to advance the kingdom of God in the earth. That is our priority. Our priority is the commission of our Lord. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Our priority is to see that this message of the kingdom goes to every man, woman, boy, and girl. Amen? That people are getting the message, the good news of Jesus Christ. Not everybody's going to receive it, but there is a harvest out there. There is fruit that is hanging off the vines, waiting for someone who will just be obedient and say, Jesus said it, I'm going to do it. And your refreshing comes, your fulfillment comes as you are obedient to do and take care of His things first. Matthew 6 this morning we read from verse 9, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done first. God first. Now we hear that so often, we're almost sick of hearing that, but we're not getting a hold of that. Folks, somebody know it's not about just doing for God, it's about pursuing God. It's about knowing Him. It's about His presence. It's about a relationship with God. When we are in love with Jesus, amen, we're going to want to do the things that please Jesus. You cannot know Jesus and not love Jesus because He's love. So we've got to learn how to be effective in communicating to people this message. Each one of us has been given a very unique assignment. Every one of us is different. We're cut out differently. We're going to be able to influence people that others may not be able to influence. And they will influence people that you cannot. But if all of us together will join our hearts together, amen, and prioritize God's kingdom, His purposes first, that we're here to build the house of God. Amen? I'm not talking about this church. I'm talking about the kingdom. Amen? Whether they come to this church or not, we are to be about our Father's business and winning souls, making disciples, setting captives free, healing the sick. Amen? Raising the dead. So to communicate, there's a few things I wanted to share with you tonight. First of all, this is just one of many statistics. You know how I love statistics sometimes. Depends on who you ask. But when it comes to communication, how many know that it's more than words? Yeah. Now, unfortunately, some people have taken that to the extreme where there's never words. All right, it got quiet. We like to hear that all I got to do is live it. Yes, you got to live it. But there comes a time because it's not except by the spoken word that faith arises in a heart. A person hears the gospel. Amen? The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And so God chose the preaching, the foolishness of preaching to save the lost. There has to be a preacher according to Romans 10. Amen? They have to be sent. We have to go. Someone has to go. God asks, who will go for me? Well, I'm not qualified. It's not about your qualifications. Aren't you glad? I can't do what I do. So it's got to be of God. But that's a good thing because it puts me in a position of humility before God and submission and say, God, help. I want to tell you folks, I'm asking God for help all the time. Because I realize that if I get in the way, it messes things up. But if I'm asking Him for help and I'm leaning on Jesus, then it's going to be more of Him and less of me. So, how many have ever seen the mimes, you know? How they act out certain scenarios without words. How about sign language for those who are hearing challenged? Is that political correct speech? Okay.
Hearing impaired.
Thank you. But we have sign language, right? How about the cop, the signal cop that's out there, right? He's communicating. Sometimes he's communicating with a whistle. Yep. It's not always going to be words. But how many know that your facial expressions, your body language are also important. I remember praying with a brother before, and we prayed a lot together, and he was always praying before we got ready to minister, that God, even our body language, that our body language itself will present Christ. And because sometimes we can be saying something with our mouth and our body language is saying something else. You ever had to correct your children and say, okay, now you need to apologize to Johnny for what you did. So out of the mouth comes, I'm sorry. See, there's a disconnect between what he's saying and the body language. So what he's basically expressing through his body language is, I'm not really sorry, I'm just doing this because I have to. So there's different ways of communicating. And I get accused all the time of being, well, not here, but I have, and at least once, of being angry or having an angry demeanor, because I'm a serious kind of, I have a serious look. When I concentrate or when I play guitar, you know, I think it's the German thing, I don't know. But sometimes people think I'm actually like mad or upset. I can remember, like our dad especially, right? I can remember, you know, when I was a boy and I was in this Baptist church and they had one of these fire and brimstone preachers, Pastor Bardsley. I asked my mom, Mom, is he mad? No, he was just passionate, you know. But sometimes we can present an image through our body language that doesn't necessarily represent our verbal communication. So the statistic is this. Content, 7%. What you want to say is about 7% of communication. Tone is 38%. Now, I've started to, and I hope I can continue to do this, is to examine my tone, even when I talk. Because sometimes I'm a loud person sometimes. And I'm talking, and I'm used to speaking in front of a crowd, and I get loud. But when I'm talking to somebody as an individual, especially, you know, I have to really kind of listen to myself as I'm talking and make sure that I'm coming across with gentleness and respect, with a soft tongue, especially if a person's upset. You don't try to outbark them, right? You got to do the opposite. All right. And then 55%, we just talked about it, is nonverbal. It's your expression. 55% of communication is just your nonverbals. Now, real communication exists when one person hears and understands what you said. Or they understand what you meant by what you said. Because I have talked to people many times and they completely misunderstood what I was saying. I knew what I was saying, but they somehow received it completely different than what I had intended for them to understand. Sometimes it's our own fault. Other times it's the enemy that gets in there and twists things. You know what I'm saying? Some people, it doesn't matter what you say, by the time he gets in there, he gets twisted around. And then it comes out a different way, and they say, well, this is what they said, and that's not what you said. But we're definitely dealing with these principalities and powers, right? And rulers of wickedness in high places that at times will get a hold of people. And we have to be very careful. We don't allow them to get a hold of us. So just because we have said words back and forth does not mean we've communicated. Communication is defined as the exchange of information or ideas, the passing on or transmitting, to impart, to give a message, to have a meaningful relationship. Now, four reasons why people do not communicate. Number one, they are fearful of exposing themselves and what they think and feel. I had a hard time. I kind of grew up in a family that was always in a social situation. We always had people at the house. We always had something going on. My My parents were good at dragging us kids out in front of a crowd, putting those guitars in our hands, and we were going to sing, right, Bruce? We were just little tiny guys when we started. And so we got the experience early on of being in front of people. But I had a really tough time in school when the teacher would call me. And what do you think, Mr. Arensmeyer? Shock. I mean, even until my adult years, my early adult years into my 20s, sometimes I'd literally just start to shake and tremble when I'd get put on the spot publicly in a public setting. This is something that God has delivered me from. You figured that one out, right? Yeah, He's delivered me from that. Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
But this fear can be a big reason why we don't express ourselves, because we're afraid that we're exposing ourselves and we might be taken advantage of, or we may look foolish. Now, has anybody ever felt like, I don't want to say anything because whatever I say is going to sound foolish?
Yeah.
So they're going to laugh at me. Do you know sometimes the very expectation of that happening can contribute to its happening? Because you're sowing a thought in the spirit realm. An expectation in the spirit realm of, if I say something, you know, it's going to be taken the wrong way. It's going to be misunderstood, or I'm going to look foolish. They're going to laugh at me. And so the same thing is true about having the right type of thinking. If you're expecting a good result when you speak, often that helps contribute to its actual fulfillment. You know, you're actually sowing in faith, in a sense. What type of seed are you sowing? If you have an expectation of that what you say is going to be foolish, it's going to be laughed at, it's not going to be appreciated, whatever, then again, you're actually helping that to come to pass. You know, when the spies were sent into the land, remember, there was how many? 12 spies? And only Joshua and Caleb came back with the good report. So 10 out of the 12, the majority, folks, I want you to hear this. The majority of people are negative. Even in church, if you're not careful, you can get caught up in a crowd thing of negativity. And somebody has to stand up and be a Joshua and Caleb. And what happened is they said, we were like grasshoppers in their sight. And so we were. Yes, see? Because they had thought in their minds that they were grasshoppers, so they were to their enemy. The reason why the enemy beats up on God's people is because we don't know who we are, or we're not believing in who we are in Christ. Everything, you know, we're thinking the boogeyman is bigger than God. I like that veggie tale, right? God is bigger than the boogeyman.
Amen.
But as a man thinks, you know, your perception of who you are when you communicate to people, if you feel you don't have anything good to say, folks, sometimes, have you ever sat under somebody teaching who you could tell they didn't really even believe in what they were saying? Well, they didn't have any confidence in what they were saying. They weren't even excited about what they're saying. I've sat under preaching where the preacher wasn't even excited about what he was talking about. And guess what? Neither you get excited. Are you with me? When we speak to people, folks, we have something to be excited about. We are talking about life. Amen. We have the very words of life. I believe this message. I wouldn't be here if I didn't believe it. Amen. So when we communicate with people, we have to believe what we're saying.
Yes, that's right. Right.
Right. Another reason people don't communicate is there's a feeling that talking won't do any good, so why bother? It ain't going to make any difference anyways. What I have to say isn't important, see? Oh, yes, it is. If you are sharing the gospel, it is the most important message on the planet.
Yes.
It is the most important message. Thirdly, a poor self-image. You know, again, we feel we don't have anything good to offer. And so often people will be shut down because they have allowed the enemy to tag on them an identity that doesn't belong to them. That's our problem. We're often receiving an identity that God doesn't assign to us. We listen to the liar who tells us you ain't nothing, you're no good, you're not effective, you won't be. Your ministry's not going to be effective, your class is not going to go anywhere. You have a bad day and then he comes up and he beats up on you and just tells you it ain't going to amount to anything. And if you start to believe that, folks, guess what? Now we're starting to operate in unbelief. God will never honor that. God honors faith. God honors those who believe that God is bigger, God is greater, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly. With God, that nothing is impossible with Him. We believe, amen, God is greater in us than he that's in the world. Who should I fear since God is with me?
No one.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?
No one. Yeah.
No one. The Lord is the strength of my life. Another reason why people do not communicate is that they've never learned how. This is huge in our population today in America. We're having generations now, several generations of dysfunction, producing greater dysfunction. And you have people who really, they mean well. They have good hearts, but they don't know how to communicate right. They never learn social grace. They don't know how to present themselves in their message in a way that's non-offensive. Are you with me? I'm still learning how to do that. Fortunately, I had some mentoring growing up. Are you with me, though? If we have never learned how to communicate. Let me just tell you this, that it's not too late. Amen. You can learn how to communicate effectively. Practice it. I've been practicing for 20-something years now, just practicing. You know, every time I come up to preach, I'm practicing some more. And I'm a little more comfortable in my skin than I was when I first started out. And I'm a little bit more polished than I was when I first started out, too. I think I scared a lot of people away, actually. But God in His mercy. Okay. First thing. Everybody say first thing.
First thing.
The communicator, the child of God, must be a listener.
Yeah.
Man, there's nothing worse. And I've shared this before, that Chuck is the one that first busted me out about this. But I'm good at just snowballing people, you know, in a conversation. And they're like, and they can't get anything out. I'm not nearly like I was.
Uh-oh.
I'm just deep in thought, that's all. Yeah. I'll blame it on ADD, okay?
Yeah.
You're not going to let me off easy. James 1:19, therefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. Slow to speak, slow to wrath. Oh, this is key. This is so important. That you and I, is everybody hearing tonight? That we are good listeners. Good listeners. Have you ever tried to talk to somebody that did all the talking? We just talked about that. Have you ever been around somebody that wore you out because you can only listen to them for so long and then you're just like, you're spent.
No.
Yeah. And I don't know if that's what's happening between you and Chuck. Chuck and I that I just signed, I have a switch where I said, okay, he's been going on for a half hour now, and I'm just... See, we have that kind of relationship. We can pick on each other and get away with it. Yeah. It's like I was sharing with Robin and Lauren today. It's the and-as. Who's and-a anyways? But, yeah. And it just keeps going and going. I'm talking about me. Not you. You're getting better, too. I think we've honed each other over the years.
Iron sharpens iron.
Go
iron to iron.
But I want you to hear this. Whenever we are preparing to answer, before we have fully listened, we are not communicating effectively. How often have we done that where this person's talking and you're not really listening? All you're doing is preparing to come back with your next line. And so we miss often the heart, the essence of what they're trying to say because we're just so full of what we need to say to them. So that's not communication, folks. That's one-sided. In any relationship, whether it be friendships or marriages, there has to be listening. You have to just say, tune. I get busy-minded. I have to tune stuff off sometimes and say, okay, I got to pay attention. This brother's talking to me. I work hard at that. I don't always achieve that, but I work at that, especially on Sunday morning when there's so much going on. But we need to be good listeners. Because what happens is when you listen to somebody, you are showing respect to that person. When you show respect, you earn respect from them. And now, in most cases, they might even be willing to listen to what you have to say. Even if they oppose or disagree with what you want to say. We don't always have to be right. We don't always have to correct people, folks. Sometimes people oppose themselves and you just got to let them do that. Let them talk. Are you with me? Even if you don't agree with it, just let them talk it out. And give them the respect and say, interesting. That's interesting. That's a tactful way of saying, I don't agree with you, but I'm going to give you the respect and I'm not going to say anything other than that was interesting. That's your perspective. I'll give you that. After they feel that they have been able to share with you their heart and communicate to you, now you have given them the respect and now we can do what? We can talk back. Is that the right terminology, talk back? We can now communicate what we wanted to say to them, and often they'll begin to listen now. But when we are not listeners, often they're going to close down on you very quickly. The same way you and I do when we run into somebody that does all the talking and there's not a two-way conversation going on. Or if it's a two-way conversation, it's cut off because the person is already gearing up for their next line. All right, enough said, right? So we need to be quick to listen and slow to speak. Proverbs 18 and 13. He who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him. That's what we're talking about. Now, we also know this is very true, that the child of God must be prepared to answer. We need to be ready to answer. 1 Peter 3:15, but set apart the Lord God in your heart and always be ready to give an answer to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. And do this with, in the King James it says meekness and fear, but really it means gentleness and respect. So in other words, when we give an answer, we need to be careful to be gentle and to be respectful. Even if you disagree with that person, folks, it's the tone of your voice. It's your body language. It's the way that you communicate to them. You need to give that person love. Amen? You need to love on that person. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that doesn't need to be ashamed, as we are rightly dividing the truth. So we need to study to answer. There's another proverb that says a wise man studies to answer. So when people are talking to you, it is important that you are processing. And what I try to do is when people are talking to me, is to pray to the Holy Spirit. Inside I say, Lord, you know, give me what I need for this hour, for this person. Give me the words to speak. And you know, He is so faithful. It's amazing. I've learned a lot. I've had revelations come, things that I had no clue about, that God just turned the light on and showed me something when somebody asked me a question and I asked Him for an answer. And He wanted to answer that. And I got the revelation. I didn't have an answer, but I did pray. And God gave me an answer for that person. I have found God to be so faithful to the degree that I used to sit, even when I was a new Christian, I didn't have a lot of theology, but I would sit in our youth group and we'd have rap sessions. And I'd just tell them, fire away. Give me your questions, whatever your thoughts, you know, share. We're here to share together. And during that time of questioning, they would come up with some really good questions about the Bible, about life, about God. And I would simply just pray and say, God, I need an answer. And it amazed me how the Lord came through over and over again. He always gave me something. And it wasn't something that, as you've heard others, they will give you an answer that you know they don't really know the answer. They just give you something, throw it out there, but it wasn't an answer. Well, how many know that people know when you don't know what you're talking about? So don't make it up. If you don't know, say, I don't know. It's okay. We don't know it all. I know that was a revelation, but we don't know it all. And you don't have to try to prove to people that you know it all to be an effective communicator, to be a witness. I remember listening to Billy Graham often as they would interview Billy Graham. And they'd ask him some tough questions. He says, I really don't have an answer for that. Hey, good answer. And you know what even better answer is to say this. You know what? I don't know, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to go away, I'm going to pray, I'm going to study, I'm going to ask God to give me an answer. So if you don't have something on the spot, you can pray and ask God to give you an answer. And then come back the next time you get together and you can be ready for that. And I always make sure people understand that there are certain questions that we're just not going to know the answer to on this side, amen, of eternity. And that's okay. What God wants us to know, He will reveal to us. We need to choose our words carefully. Number three. Choose your words carefully. Proverbs 15:23. A man has joy by the answer of his mouth. And a word spoken in due season, how good it is. Has anybody ever refreshed you with a word in due season? It was a choice morsel from the Holy Spirit in a time where you needed something. And God fed you and refreshed you by that word. It was a joy, not only to you who received it, but to the one who was able to give it. Proverbs 15:23. Well, that's the same reference. I don't know how I did that. The heart of the righteous studies how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil. We talked about this already. The heart of the righteous studies how to answer. And that word studies in the Hebrew means hagah, ponders or meditates on answering. You know, isn't it true that sometimes people who are chatterboxes, you know, don't gain a lot of respect? People are just, bra, 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 bra. Are you with me? Yeah. Or at least after a while, you kind of hit the off switch. But people who are very selective, few of words, but when they do speak, they have something to say, are people that get the attention. I've heard of people dealing with unruly teenagers. I've never had to deal with them before, but I've heard of people doing this. And actually, I have, okay. Chuck knew that, but all right. He handed me off a youth group one time. Demon-possessed youth group, so, yeah. But sometimes, what I was right out of the Army, too. So I came into this youth group, and I was a drill instructor with them, you know. I just rose up and, shut up! I mean, I just kind of like, I just lit into them, you know. And I can remember being in that van. There was a church van stuffed full of kids. We picked them up from the trailer park, and they were a mess, and they were loud, and they were nasty. And it got so loud. I mean, that thing was literally just rocking out, you know. And them jumping seats and hollering. It was a noisy mess. And so I just, one time, I just roared out like that, and they just all, whew, they froze. But you know, sometimes the best way to handle an unruly crowd is to stand there and do nothing. Say nothing. Are you with me? And you can just study them. And all of a sudden they're like, hey. There's different tactics, but he who has knowledge spares his words. Proverbs 17:27. And a man of understanding is of a calm spirit. And of course we know this one. Fourthly, the child of God must show respect in communicating. 2 Timothy 2:24, and a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, argue, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility correcting those who are in opposition. In humility correcting those who are in opposition, not outshouting them. If God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Gentleness and respect. Listening. Amen. Giving the person the respect of listening. Studying to show yourself approved. Studying to answer. Separating, if you will, sanctifying the Lord God in your hearts, meaning you're in communication internally as you are speaking externally. You're communicating with the Holy Spirit, asking for the words to speak. And as we do that, you know, God will drop something in your spirit that can break through a lot of the ice there, and a lot of the walls can come down, because it can be a word in due season, a word that is necessary, it's needed for that time, for that moment. And so we don't know that if by our example, by our own self-control, even folks, if any of you have ever counseled anybody, sometimes people get mad at you because you're telling them the truth. And you can do it in gentleness and respect, but you got to tell them the truth. And sometimes when you tell them the truth, they're not going to like you for doing that. But you're never going to win that person if you try to just outbark them. Or, boy, I told them, I put them in their place. You might have won the argument, but you lost the person. So we need to learn how to listen, how to approach, amen, with the right body language, right tone of voice, even the right content, as we're asking God to help us when we talk to people. Jesus said in Matthew 10:16, behold, I send you out as sheep among wolves, or in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. One of the things that the Lord has really been teaching me is the enemy has a plan. The enemy has tactics that he uses. But if we will pray, God will reveal to us what they are doing, and he will give you an instruction to beat them to the chase. And when the enemy tries to come in, the Lord says, bring it out into the light. Expose it. You don't talk about the person. You don't name their name. But you expose what the enemy is up to publicly. I want you to hear that. People will get upset with you for doing it. But you know what you're doing? Is you're stopping the enemy in his tracks. And you're protecting the flock. If you're teaching a class, it's no different. Am I right, Robin and Lauren? You guys have to speak the truth. And you have to expose what the enemy is doing. Because once the light comes on, there's no more place for him to hide. But if you're just trying to make everybody feel good all the time, and you don't confront the issues, then you're allowing the enemy to continue to operate in the areas of darkness that will bring destruction upon your family, and your marriage relationship, your earthly, worldly relationships, and even in the church. Amen? So we put it out into the light. And if a person gets upset, I want you to hear this, because what you said exposed them, but you didn't name their name, it's only an indication that there's rebellion and an unwillingness to submit to the authority of God's Word. Are you with me?
Yes.
When we hear a message, when I hear a message, I have to say, God, is this for me? Not, boy, I wish so-and-so were here to hear that. Even though that may be true. The Lord is wiser than our enemy. Amen? But let me just say this, that your enemy is not stupid. I hear preachers talk about the devil as if he's stupid. He's not stupid, folks. He is smarter than we are. We need God's wisdom. We need to pray for the wisdom of God so that we can counter. It is in a lot of ways a divine chess game that we're playing here. If we refuse, are you with me? If we refuse to take the moves that God tells us to move in the time we're supposed to move, we give more place to the enemy and we allow a greater deception and a greater damage to be done. Are you with me? And so when the Lord says something to me, I'm trying to get with this. When he says something to you, there's a certain window of opportunity that he gives you to deal with something. Don't keep putting it off, folks. You want to know why a lot of churches are destroyed and brought down to nothing? It's because they will not confront evil. Because they want to please everybody, make everybody happy, especially the people that give. And they come under the control of that spirit of Jezebel, that witchcraft of control and manipulation. It ain't going to happen here. And I pray that God will give the shepherds, amen, intestinal fortitude, the courage to stand up against that. You cannot play patty cake with the devil. You don't appease the devil. The heathen appease the devil because they're afraid of him. You will worship what you fear. And you're actually, in a sense, you're getting into idolatry when you will not confront something that God says confront. Because what you're doing is saying, that thing is bigger than my God's ability to deal with it. Wow. Have I offended anybody tonight? No. Just say no and make me feel good.
No.
All right. All right, good. As long as everybody's been pleased. You know what I love about y'all is that you have a love for the truth. You know why? Because you love Jesus. I'm not saying that out of flattery. That's the reality of it. Is if you love Jesus, you love the truth. It doesn't mean it always feels good. But it's something that you love because you know that that's what defeats the enemy. Amen. You shall know the truth. Sets you free. The truth keeps us free here as well in our corporate relationships.